This podcast was produced and recorded in the studios of Cairns FM 89.1.
This is The Evolution of Intimacy with Ella Shannon, a show about sex, relationships, and everything in between.
You can start to feel bliss while you're vacuuming.
I don't know if I've tried that or not. Do I want to try it? What is it?
Very complex, very interesting.
Flogging, whipping, caning.
So there I was in my high heels and my little dress.
So it is purely a stigma.
Healthy sexual expression with other humans.
I went to the local women's health centre and went, I think I'm a lesbian. Is there a support group?
They don't know quite how to talk about it. It's actually a core skill in relationships.
That has always worked for me.
My guest is Laura Lee. She's a psychologist and sexologist in Wadawurrung country, also known as Geelong, and is speaking today about body image. Welcome, Laura.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Ella. It's so nice to talk to you.
I'm really excited to talk about this topic. I think I haven't really met anyone that hasn't struggled with a sense of their body image at some point, particularly people that were raised as girls.
Mm.
Can you share a little bit about, the topic and your thoughts on it?
I guess when we talk about body image, I think it's important to sort of define what that is. I mean, body image is really the relationship we have with our body, and it's made up of lots of different things, all the kind of thoughts and feelings and attitudes and beliefs that we hold about our body, and that our body image, that relationship with our body, is really dynamic. It really changes over time. I mean, I hear people kind of refer to having good days and bad days, you know, when it comes to how they feel about their body. And I think that's certainly the case, but I think it can be even more changeable across, you know, life stage, age, things that have happened that have impacted our changing bodies, you know, pregnancy, illness, injury, aging. Like, there's so much that goes into our body image, and it is quite literally a lifelong relationship that we have. So there's so much that goes into how it forms, which I can certainly go into more, but there's also so much that over the course of our lives keeps it changing, and that's why it's such a dynamic relationship for most of us as well.
And when I hear the term body image, you know, I immediately sort of think negative body image, but you know, hopefully, you know, we do have those good days, and it doesn't have to be a fixed negative state. Can you talk a bit more about some of the things that do contribute to this, you know, negative relationship with our bodies?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, as I mentioned before, as I kind of touched on there, definitely life stage contributes to our relationship with our body. So our bodies change, you know, over time through just natural development. They change through things like pregnancy, ill health, injury, aging. There's so much that kind of changes our physical body, that changes our relationship. But actually, one of the things that studies show is the main contributor to our body image is family of origin, which of course is a main contributor to lots of things for us psychologically. But how we grew up and what we're exposed to really shapes the relationship we go on to have with our body. So that includes things like how bodies were talked about growing up, whether we were exposed to, say, our parents or caregivers' relationships with their own body. This is commonly talked about, things like parents that made negative comments about their bodies, maybe made negative comments about others' bodies, particularly size or fatness. And certainly we live in an inherently fat-phobic society. So comments about people's weight or shape or size, if you grew up exposed to those, that can certainly have a huge impact on your perception of your own body. Diet practices growing up, so if food was referred to as good or bad or naughty or food to feel guilty about, that's a huge one. And also parents that engaged in restriction, some disordered eating habits that maybe were normalised as children. Parents on diets, for example, restricting food groups, fasting, making reference to foods being banned or not allowed or in some way negatively associated with how they impact our body shape or size. So references to foods being bad for us because we might gain weight, that kind stuff. So that family of origin stuff has a huge impact. And then, of course, if I kind of move, I guess, up a level, it's really important to acknowledge that we all exist within a diet culture. So we all, you know, and when I say we all, I'm kind of talking culturally, I guess, in Australia, we grow up in this diet culture and we continue to exist within this diet culture. So diet culture really refers to the what's kind of inherently capitalist and inherently, it's actually also inherently sexist. And diet culture refers to this industry that exists that keeps us in this constant state of believing our bodies are problems to be solved. So diet culture perpetuates a series of myths that are always changing about how our bodies should look, and it always keeps us striving for a really unattainable ideal. So constantly believing that our bodies are problems to solve and that there are solutions we need to purchase, if you like, to keep the diet industry thriving. And it is a thriving industry. So the diet industry needs us all to ideally hate our bodies. That's what it really needs us to do. It needs us to hate our bodies so that we will be in this constant state of being happy to spend money to purchase these mythical solutions to achieve an ideal that is inherently unattainable and needs to be unattainable so that we will continue to spend money on solutions.
You are listening to The Evolution of Intimacy with me, Ella Shannon, a show about sex, relationships, and everything in between.
Most of us have not been encouraged or taught how to talk about sex.
They are curious.
Hang on a sec. I'm a woman. Like, I have needs now.
Whole new level of sensation and pleasure.
I looked at my yoni before and after and I was like, oh my God.
You may experience a range of emotions.
What we associate as being related to one gender or another, it changes all the time.
Pleasure is our birthright.
You're on these massive doses of steroids. I look like Bert Newton. I wouldn't have been attracted to myself.
So they were just so happy to know that A, they weren't alone, and B, that this was like a legitimate thing.
And that actually sounds really lovely and erotic, really pleasurable.
It's a secret.
Mind blowing.
I was curious, you said it's inherently sexist, and certainly in the past all this has been very much focused on women and women's bodies, but I do see it, this type of information being put on men and boys more and more. Can you speak a bit more to that?
I really agree with what you said there, that, I mean, more and more the very sort of patriarchal influence on diet culture and on the diet industry more and more is targeting boys and men as well as girls and women. But historically, the very kind of unattainable bodily ideals and diet culture has been predominantly aimed towards girls and women. And what that looks like is creating different, and it changes generationally, and I can think of some examples of this from recent times, but creating very specific body types in the media and in the diet industry for girls and women to achieve that are not only just unattainable by their very nature, but also are kind of training boys and men to view women's bodies through that ideal shape or size. So, you know, if I think kind of in the last couple of decades, I grew up, I was a teenager in the 90s, and in the 90s it was thinness. Thin was in, the kind of like supermodel era, heroin chic, thin was in. And then more recently we've kind of got this Kardashian-esque, very curvy but still curvy in all the designated places, still very flat stomach, still very large breasts, all of that kind of thing. But either way, the thing those two body shapes have in common, even though they're very different, is they are fundamentally, in their very nature, unattainable. I've never seen anyone in real life that looks like a Kardashian, for example. That body shape doesn't really exist, So the thing that those two body shapes have in common is that they are unattainable. But the sexist element occurs because there is then this kind of indoctrination of, like, men and boys expected to kind of find those body shapes desirable and attractive. That messaging is perpetuated and repeated in the media, in pornography, as well as mainstream media. time and time again. You've kind of got this, never-ending cycle of girls and women striving for a body type that is unachievable, men and boys being encouraged to find that body shape sexually desirable. But I do really agree with your comments that I think in recent decades, the industry has made sure to include boys and men in this narrative as well, in that there are now male bodies and male body types that are being sold to men as the ideal body type, and they're equally as unattainable in terms of muscular and definition and size and things like that.
Yeah.
The other thing too that's probably relevant here that we haven't really talked about, but I think is more relevant for penis owners, is genital body image. And there is a lot in the media about kind of penis size and penis functionality that I think is becoming an, I'm seeing that in clients more and more, that's becoming an increasing challenge for penis owners in terms of body image.
It's very damaging because people can't usually see that there's so much variation and all sizes are actually can provide pleasure and can experience pleasure. It's
absolutely. Yeah.
So considering that we're kind of swimming in this soup of diet culture, is it something that we can improve? Can we kind of heal this body image that we hold?
Yeah, absolutely. The healing of body image is such a lovely way to put it. And I think this idea of kind of healing the relationship is really lovely language. And it really acknowledges that this relationship is a changing one. The goal isn't I love my body all the time, every part of it, every day. That's really probably for most people, for everyone I know, not going to be kind of a realistic goal. But there are a couple of things we can do to start to heal the relationship we have with our bodies. The first is to increase our exposure to people and bodies that look like us. So I often talk to clients about when it comes to things like a social media audit, people often think about, well, I'll just make sure I unfollow accounts that don't make me feel good. And that's really important, and I certainly encourage that. If you're following accounts that really aren't making you feel good when you see them, don't do it. But actually, I also really encourage people to fill up their social media with things that do feel good. So body diverse and body positive or body neutral accounts is really helpful. But fundamentally, follow people and find content that you feel represented by, where you see yourself and your body type and your life experiences reflected. That can be really healing. The reason that can be so healing, though, is because often attached to negative body image is some really kind of deep-seated shame stuff, and shame really thrives in the darkness. It really thrives in us feeling isolated and different and alone in our experience. So for example, if I look at my body in the mirror every day and there's a certain part that I really don't like about my body every day, and I start to feel very alone in that, I start to think nobody else has a body like mine, this particular part of my body that I don't like, no one else has a body part that looks like that, I'm alone in this experience. That can be really damaging and really perpetuate the shame around my body. When I'm able to follow, say, social media accounts where I can see bodies where I think, oh, that kind of looks like me. They kind of look like me, and they look great in that photo, and they look joyful and they look strong and happy. That can be a really healing experience.
You are listening to The Evolution of Intimacy with me, Ella Shannon, a show about sex, relationships, and everything in between.
Most of us have not been encouraged or taught how to talk about sex.
They are curious.
Hang on a sec. I'm a woman. Like, I have needs now.
Whole new level of sensation and pleasure. I looked at my yoni before and after and I was like, oh my God.
You may experience a range of emotions.
What we associate as being related to one gender or another, it changes all the time.
Pleasure is our birthright.
You're on these massive doses of steroids. I looked like Bert Newton. I wouldn't have been attracted to myself.
So they were just so happy to know that A, they weren't alone, and B, that this was like a legitimate thing.
And that actually sounds really lovely and erotic, really pleasurable.
It's a secret.
Mind-blowing.
But I remember years ago seeing, you know, a popular Australian underwear brand, and it was showing, you know, all different bodies. And I remember I cried. I was like, oh my God. Like, that was just so powerful to see myself reflected.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I love to hear that. Do you think that's, and is that what it was? Do you think it was that powerful moment of going, oh, that kind of looks like me, or that body's kind of like my body?
It was, and it was sexy. Yeah. And it was like, oh yeah. My goodness, there's, you know, that I'm represented. It was really powerful, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think that is so powerful. And like I said, I think often when we think of kind of social media audits, we think of just, I won't follow the accounts that don't make me feel good. But yeah, filling it up with that, oh, I feel really represented, that body looks like mine, that's so powerful. I love that. The other thing I was going to sort of suggest there that I think is really healing is to aim for body neutrality or body gratitude rather than body positivity. I think for people who have maybe had some really negative feelings about their bodies, potentially for a very long time, you know, years, decades, I think the idea of body positivity, this idea of really loving my body or feeling positively about a body that I maybe have hated for many years, I think that's going to feel like a really big leap for most people. And so I often talk to clients about aiming for body neutrality or body gratitude, which I think can feel much more achievable. And what that looks like is starting to introduce some more neutral language about our bodies when we notice a negative thought. So if I look in the mirror and say something like, oh, I hate my body, or I'm ugly, or no one will love me, or I hate this particular body part, the idea of replacing that with a really positive statement like, oh, I love that body part, I think for most people feels a bit, it feels fake, it feels forced, it feels disingenuous, and it feels like a bridge too far. And a more neutral or grateful statement might be something like, my body is where I live, it's not who I am, my body deserves respect, I am more than just my body, my body is just a vessel that I move through the world in, it's not who I am. That kind of more neutral language, or gratitude for our body, which might be like, I'm grateful that my body enabled me to play with my children today, or that my body enabled me to feel the sun on my face, or whatever it is. This idea of kind of more grateful or neutral statements, it's just going to be far more achievable for most people. And I really like that kind of language that moves us away from just the aesthetics of my body and how it looks.
Yeah, that's right. And thinking more about what it does and this incredible, like you said, vessel that, you know, can hug our loved ones and can play and can enjoy food and digest rather than, oh, how it looks in the mirror.
Yeah, I love that idea of connecting to the senses too, like what you just said, like about, you know, my body was able to enjoy a hug with a loved one. So even if I look in the mirror and I find it really hard to see anything I like, I can still connect to, oh, my body experienced these moments of joy today. Yeah, it experienced a really nice hug or a delicious meal or the warmth of the sun. You know, the feeling of my muscles moving as I walked, or whatever it is. I think that's going to feel so much more achievable and genuine for people. I love that kind of language.
Yeah. And I'm really curious to hear your thoughts around how body image affects sexual functioning and sexual pleasure.
Yeah. I mean, we know body image has a huge impact on sexual functioning. So studies have shown that actually all the different stages of sexual functioning or sexual response, so desire, arousal, orgasm, satisfaction, even pain, every single one of those can be impacted by body image or our relationship with our body. And we also know that people with poorer body image tend to have, some of it sounds pretty obvious initially, like they tend to have less confidence about being naked or being in an intimate space with a partner. They're also, people with poorer body image are also less likely to initiate sexual contact. So we know that. But actually, kind of some other really interesting stuff that's come out of some more recent studies is that people with lower body image are actually less likely to assert their needs sexually. So they're less likely to be able to communicate with their partners about what they like and don't like. And actually even things like about contraception, people with a poorer body image are less likely to assert their needs when it comes to contraception around sex. So really interesting that body image can really impact all aspects of sexual interaction, and I'm particularly kind of talking about partnered sex here.
Yeah.
The other thing that can happen though, and this is during solo, so masturbation as well as partnered sex, is this really high level of distraction. Mm. So people with poorer body image are much more likely to be taken out of the moment and come into their heads, which of course really detracts from pleasure, really makes it difficult to maintain arousal, makes it difficult to maintain connection if you are with another person, and also decreases, because it decreases physiological arousal, it decreases kind of responsiveness. So we know people with poorer body image often experience greater difficulty achieving and maintaining an erection, or achieving and maintaining an orgasm. And this is also where genital self-image is so powerful. You know, particularly for, I was going to say for both penis and vulva owners, but genital self-image is also particularly associated with sexual pleasure. So we know that people with poorer genital self-image are likely to experience decreased sexual satisfaction and far more likely to experience distraction.
Mm.
So genital self-image refers to how we feel about our genitals in terms of how they look, how they smell, how they taste, and how they've been appraised. Mm. So what our sexual partners kind of think about them. And all of that stuff really gets us in our head. So body image ultimately can, or poorer body image can really take us out of the moment, and just, we're in our head and out of the moment so quickly.
You are listening to The Evolution of Intimacy with me, Ella Shannon, a show about sex, relationships, and everything in between.
Most of us have not been encouraged or taught how to talk about sex.
They are curious.
Hang on a sec. I'm a woman. Like, I have needs now.
Whole new level of sensation and pleasure. I looked at my yoni before and after and I was like, oh my God.
You may experience a range of emotions.
What we associate as being related to one gender or another, it changes all the time.
Pleasure is our birthright.
You're on these massive doses of steroids. I look like Bert Newton. I wouldn't have been attracted to myself.
So they were just so happy to know that A, they weren't alone, and B, that this was like a legitimate thing.
And that actually sounds really lovely and erotic, really pleasurable.
It's a secret.
Mind blowing.
How far-reaching it is. It's not just about the confidence that we walk around in the world. This really impacts just many areas of our lives, and how important it is to heal that relationship, as you said so beautifully.
Yeah, yes, I mean, absolutely. And I hear from clients just how much, when it comes to sex, particularly partnered sex, I hear from clients so much about how their relationship with their body really impacts their ability to have a fulfilling sex life and to really enjoy it and to really kind of surrender to the sexual space, which I just think is such a vulnerable, intimate space. So when it comes to kind of starting to enjoy sex more and doing some work around being concerned with our bodies, there are two key things I talk to clients about. The first is very much, as we were talking about before, catching some of those negative thoughts and replacing them with a more neutral statement. So I kind of talk to clients about, you know, if they catch a negative thought when they're having sex with a partner, I talk about replacing it with a more positive affirmation, but it doesn't have to be a direct replacement for the body part. So what I mean by that is if somebody's engaging in a sexual interaction and they start to have thoughts like, oh, I don't like how my stomach looks from this angle, and what's my partner thinking about how my stomach looks, the thought they might try to replace it with doesn't have to have anything to do with their stomach at all. It might be like, oh, it feels so good when they're kissing my neck, and I'm just going to kind of notice that and bring my attention to that. So I like to talk to clients about that. It doesn't have to be a thought replacement like, oh, I love how my stomach looks, because that's not going to feel realistic. Yeah. But if I can bring my attention to something I am enjoying, like, oh, they're kissing my neck and that feels really pleasurable, that can be really helpful. And the second thing I talk to clients about in general is just mindfulness, right? Really basic kind of mindfulness practices to bring us back into the moment from our head. And that example I just gave of having a negative thought about how my body looks and replacing it with a positive thought about something my body is experiencing, that's a lovely mindfulness practice.
Absolutely. I just love that there's people like you, Laura, doing this type of work and talking about it. I was also a teen in the 90s, and I remember magazine articles about which sexual positions made you look slimmer, right?
Oh, oh no. Well, that makes me sad and angry.
Right? Yeah, I think we've come a bit of a way, but still more to go. Laura, if people were interested to find out more about you and your work, how could they do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, my practice is Blue Space Psychology, and you can check out my website at bluespacepsychology.com.au, and also Instagram and Facebook of the same name. And I share quite a bit of this kind of stuff, particularly on in my stories. So if you want to give me a little follow on Instagram or Facebook and see what I'm doing over there, that would be great. I'd love that. I'd love to hear from people.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thanks, Elle. It was so nice to talk.
You've been listening to The Evolution of Intimacy with Ella Shannon.
We're feeling juicy the whole day.
Every desire I could possibly think of.
What sort of impact would it have?
They want it, they're going to go and get it. They don't think of long-term consequences.
Oh, did that feel really nice? Oh, yes, that felt really delicious.
Being able to feel good about my body again, that's been a huge thing.
All anybody really wants in this world is to feel seen and heard.
We actually do have a lot that connects us physically.
It's making people feel good.
There is a real sense of hopefulness that returns in the relationship.
A really beautiful thing.
Take that beauty and that calmness and that bliss and that sense of peace out into the world.
Thank you for listening, and I hope we've inspired you with our juicy conversations on this episode of The Evolution of Intimacy. If you would like to go deeper, you can book a session of relationship counselling, sex therapy, or individual counselling via my website. I work in person in Cairns, tropical far north Queensland, or I can meet you online anywhere in the world. Or you might prefer to go at your own pace with my 12-lesson Relationship and Intimacy online course. To book or to listen to previous episodes, visit my website, ellashannon.com, or follow me on the socials at Evolution of Intimacy. Finally, please go to iTunes and write me a quick review if you're feeling kind. Thank you, lovelies, and see you next time.